Hey there, thanks for listening to CantoCast. I'm CantoCast Blue, and CantoCast is your destination for all kinds of Pokemon and gaming entertainment. CantoCast is a podcast. Of course, you already knew that, but I also do 5 to 6 live streams a week over at twitch.tv/CantoCast, and I have other video projects going on over at youtube.com/c/CantoCast, including Let's Plays, VGC tutorials, Pokemon battles, and more. If you're loving what CantoCast is doing, hit up a pledge on Patreon or come subscribe over on Twitch. By supporting the content, you help support not only me and my family, but also my aspirations to continue to make content for everyone to enjoy. All the links you'll need for any of that will be in the episode description. And with that, please enjoy the latest episode of CantoCast. Welcome to the second episode of the NPA Season 4 Special Edition of CantoCast, the bi-weekly series. Bi-weekly? I think that's right. Twice a month. That's what I want to say. We take a look at Season 4 of the NPA twice a month over here, every other week at CantoCast, which means you guys get double uploads, which is fantastic. Unless you're watching this, or listening rather, on the NPA YouTube, in which case, you're not. You just get this one every other week. But for all of you regular podcast listeners, welcome into episode 2 of the NPA Special Edition. Well, there's not much else to really get into aside from introduce my co-host, my co-chair, my partner for this episode, Poke. Coach.
What's going on, guys? Poke here.
He is taking over the Lancaster cast forms, and if you're really confused about that, that probably probably covers the first thing that we're gonna kind of jump into. First of all, okay, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. How is everybody doing today?
I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm feeling all right. It's a pretty happy Tuesday so far, I think. Could do without the rain. I know you're over on that West Coast. Are you getting a lot of rain?
I think like a couple of days ago we did, but really not much like heavy rains or anything.
Oh man, dude, Virginia's terrible right now. Like I've not seen like dry grass in like almost 2 weeks or something. It's crazy. My dog hates it too, which, I know that this is not relevant, but it's National, Love Your Pet Day. So
wow.
By the time this goes live, it's too late. But, you know, for those of you, get a belated Love Your Pet Day, National Love Your Pet Day. And anyway, nobody cares about that, Blue. Jeez. So let's talk about the first thing. First and foremost, weeks 1 and 2, we're going to talk about weeks 1 and 2. I know the first episode where we sat down, I had Joe on here with me, and we just kind of talked about, you know, league rules, any kind of tier changes or any kind of difference that took place between seasons 3 and 4 and got everybody up to speed on what draft league is and all that stuff. And then we just kind of like briefly ran through the teams because we didn't really have a whole lot of time. This is a 24 person league, man. There's a lot of teams. But the first thing that we kind of want to just clear the air with, as it were, we had a couple changes to the coach roster. And I know you guys are probably familiar because I'm like 99% confident that we covered this last time. But Professor Willow in the United Kingler has been replaced by In Vivid Color, the South Texas Sableyes. So welcoming him in. You guys probably were familiar with that already. Vivid Color has been around for a while. It's a pretty established player. We also lost Data Dave and the Atlanta Arcanines, which feels, it hurts a little bit because, you know, you can't go day to day with Dave anymore. But that's okay, I guess, because we got Sleepy Knight, with a Montreal, oh, I'm gonna mess this up so bad. Two Canadians, I think is how
Yeah,
that's pronounced.
I think so. Two Canadians, yeah.
Like I see the double N, and then I immediately my brain just spazzes, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is gonna be terrible. But that's it. Hey, listen, if it's two. It's a unanimous decision over here. Two Canadians. And then we also lost Jerry Oka, the Los Angeles Landorus, who is going to be replaced by none other than the individual speaking with me right now, the Lancaster Castforms Poke. So welcome getting thrown into the fire pan week three, which I is that that's when it takes place, right? Week three is when that happens.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know what? I mean, I don't. We can't really go into spoilers about
Yeah.
what's about
I think we
to
both know what happened, but I mean, hey.
happen. Oh man! So we're just gonna cover weeks one and two, which I know. Like, for you, have you been keeping up at all? Like, I know this change kind of took place, relatively.
Yeah. I kind of caught up with week two, but other than that, I don't know who like most of the coaches are, so
Oh man, are you feeling confident
yeah.
though? Going like, it's you were telling me that you've been around. You were seasons one and two, and then you
Yeah.
took a little breather last round, and now you're back with
Yeah. I haven't really played much of Gen 7 to be honest, so it's kind of like weird seeing all these like Z crystals, different mons, different metas. Like Talonflame, for example, is not going to be really good anymore, so it's like,
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, oh man, that's I mean, that's not too much of, I mean, I went through weeks one and two without even using my Z crystal, 'cause like I'm evidently bad at assigning Z crystals to Pokemon, where I can never pop them off for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But man, that's like a lot to absorb, dude. Holy cow.
Yeah.
'Cause there was like, I mean, if for those of you guys who are listening and you weren't necessarily real savvy, 'cause I know they did like so much promotion for Gen 7. Probably more promo work on the Gen 7 games than I had seen in Pokemon since like maybe the 90s, early 2000s, let's say. I don't want to date myself, but it's crazy the amount of pull that they've brought either people back or have gotten new fans involved in the franchise. And there's a lot has changed. Like a lot has changed. So are you feeling confident that you'll be able to kind of like get acclimated with all that new stuff?
I've been playing a little bit of Showdown here and there. I've been kind of getting used to the meta, so honestly, I feel like after like a few weeks, then maybe I'll start getting more comfortable with the format, but
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess it's a little bit easier given that, at any given time you've only got like 11 Pokemon that you necessarily have to worry about staring down,
yeah.
which is, it's kind of a nice thing. The downside is that there's a lot more tech ability is what I'll say. I don't think that's a real phrase, but the ability to kind of specifically tailor your team for what it kind of has to handle instead of a pool, because like I play VGC and I've said that before and people are probably like, oh, Blue, you play VGC, that's brand new information, sarcastically of course, but like I'm in a pool of almost like 700 Pokemon that I gotta worry about, and
Yeah.
so like coming into a situation like this, it's a little bit easier because there's like a dozen that the changes are a little bit chaotic too, and oh my goodness, like we're not going to get into it specifically. If you guys want to know about what is it, the roster changes, like trades and transactions and all that stuff, if you want to know about that, I'm sure the analysts are putting something together that you can check out over on the NPA YouTube channel. But that does kind of bring up an interesting point. Like, so when a coach comes in, because I've never really had to do this before, like I'm it's this is new for me. You take over essentially someone's team that's already been drafted. In this case, it was the Landorus. What do you actually do? I think you get a certain deadline on unlimited trades and then so many free agency pickups.
Yeah, you're correct on that. Basically, for me at least, I didn't do any trades, but I basically had 2 days to just pick up any mon and drop any mon. So I picked up a few mons, but it didn't go through for week three. But for week four, all my mons will be updated. So.
Okay, so you got to play through a week with a team that essentially you had no say in.
Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard. But it happens, you know, so.
I mean, I don't know, I don't know about anybody else, but I personally feel like people get jazzed about the draft alone. Like, I genuinely feel like if there was a league out there that never played any games, and you just had a session where you sat down and drafted, and then somebody theoretically won based on, like, quote unquote, best draft. I feel like people would be
Yeah.
super into that.
I think that makes sense, to be honest. I could see it.
Because I know I was in a smaller league before, which was mostly like people within my community circle, and like they just got super jazzed about the draft, and then by the time week four battles hit, like nobody got in touch with everybody. Like, the season was just like almost dead, just because like people were so jazzed about the draft part. But that's a bummer that you missed out, but hopefully, again, we won't necessarily cover those right now because potential spoilers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing over there on YouTube, but you feel good about your pickups?
Honestly, I mostly dropped a lot of low tier mons, if you will. A lot of like tier 4 and tier 5 mons. But I feel comfortable using those mons though, so.
Okay. Yeah, see, like, comfort level's pretty big. When I went into this, for example, I drafted comfort level 100%. I didn't really draft outside of my knowledge base that, I had already established. But I'm glad, like, I had to play the Landorus week two, and
Oh,
I'm
really?
glad I didn't have to play you. That makes me happy. I'm glad that's over with. All right, so that's good. We had a couple coaching changes. And again, these all take place because of sometimes it's undisclosed, sometimes it's just IRL stuff, stuff happens. But luckily we had some solid people to be able to step in. So I guess let's just kind of go ahead and briefly talk about some of the games. Were there any? I know you said you got kind of familiarized with the week two matches that went up. Was there anything that was kind of like shocking? I know you said you're not terribly familiar with a lot of the coaches, but
I kind of want to say one of the biggest things that I definitely know is the Orlando Magikarps. I think that was coached by Choice Specs, if I'm correct on that. I remember like when I was playing with him, I think it was like season two. I think he wasn't kind of doing bad, but he could have done that better. But now it shows that he's doing really good this season, so.
Yeah, he actually we got the Orlando Magikarps coming in at a 5-0 win on week one, and then a week two win coming in at 3-0. So pretty solid so far. No,
Yeah, that's really good, to be honest.
I don't know. Do I have to play? I'm like every time I did this with Joe too. I was like, and when we were going over the team, I was like, do I have to play this person? I do. Great, week nine. All right, look forward to that. Coming for your choice specs. No. He actually, like, I had a Pokemon that wasn't right, and so he helped me out last minute, because I had run Scarf Darmanitan in week two, I think it was, yeah. And I was like, oh man, like, it's adamant, it's supposed to be jolly. Like, my whole plan is blown if this thing is not jolly. I hit up the MPA Discord real quick, and we got settled, thank goodness. But yeah, so Orlando Magikarp, that is the silver division, I think. They're in the silver.
Yes, that is a silver.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of glancing through the silver division. We had the Miami Don fans come in at a double loss for the first 2 weeks. We got an 0-4 loss to the Cocopuffs, which is me. And then the Rapidash, taking an 0-2 loss, which, you know, that's a rough start. That's a rough start. Not gonna lie, that's a rough start to the thing. But luckily, I mean, you know, there's 12 games we gotta play. An 0-2 start isn't too tragic. We had the Munchlaxter United coming in at a very narrow 0-1 loss week 2 against the Rochester Rhydons. We had a 4-0 win against the Tampa Bay Luxrays. It's pretty fantastic. Luxrays, I know we had some. It's not those Luxrays. It's not Monotui. These Luxrays are coached by the Exception, just to clarify again. I mean, what have we got? New York Clinks are also in the Silver Division, taking a 6-0 win over, who was that? CRT. I'm not even sure who that is. I have not. I don't know the abbreviations of the names. That's like the worst part, man. Oh, CRT. I should know them. The Thunderous. Yes, they're in my division. Duh. The Thunderous taking a win there, 6-0, which is kind of absolutely crazy.
Wow.
And then taking one of the losses here from Orlando, an 0-3 loss. 6-0, man. You ever been 6-0'd?
Not spoilers, but almost.
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 Ooh, scary, man. Like, I'm honestly just waiting for, like, the setup sweep to happen to me at some point. Like, I know it's coming. I can feel it.
Yeah.
The Rabidash taking two wins. 4-0 win week 1, and then a 2-0 win week 2. And then, of course, the Luxrays to round out Silver Division. Coming up with a double loss. 0-4 and 0-4 in both weeks 1 and 2. Which is a little rough, not going to lie. A little rough. Any standouts in the Silver Division? I feel like maybe the Magikarps or the Clinks, man. Like, any time you get a 6-0, I mean, that's got to feel good.
Yeah, looking at his team right now, I think both of them have potential to really make it out. So,
I know the Rapidash. Shout out to Swami. If this just so happens to get heard, I know that Swami actually got voted pretty low on the power rankings post draft.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I mean, coming in just dominating the first couple weeks here. Good on him. Proud. Doing the Silver Division proud here. Let's run through we're Gold Division. I find it ironic that I'm in the Gold Division when I have never played Pokemon Gold. It's like one of the few games I never actually played.
Oh, wow.
I was a Silver guy. Silver and Crystal. Never played Gold.
Yeah, I feel you.
We have the Rochester Rhydons coming in with a 1-0 win week 1 and a 2-0 win week 2. Cocoa Puffs. That's right. Part of a balanced breakfast, you bet. Coming in at a 4-0 win on week 1 and a 2-0 win week 2. So we're sitting at 2-0. The Cedar Rapid Thunderous taking an 0-6 loss again for the New York Clinks. And then picking up a 3-0 win. So they're sitting at 1-1 right now. Los Angeles Landorus, rip, no longer. They took a double loss. But that's all right. You're gonna start picking up some wins in that spot anyway. So doesn't even matter. Straw Hat Swampert's going 0-2 for the first 2 weeks, and the Maryland Torterra Pins, coached by Kelly, my dude Kelly, picking up a 4-0 win week 1 and an 0-2 loss week 2. So sitting at 1-1. Pretty balanced. I mean, I don't know if I'm really qualified necessarily to talk about the teams in this division, but you know, here's what I'll say, because I don't like talking about myself necessarily, and it makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I'm very comforted by the fact that no one has high expectations of me right now. It's a very comforted feeling, because I can kind of just show up, and if I do well, great. Like, everybody's like, oh, well, he did okay. And if I do poorly, they're like, oh, well, we kind of saw that coming. So I don't feel like there's a whole lot of pressure on me right now, which is really, really nice.
That's good.
I don't know how the rest of my division peoples feel about that, but The Thundurus, I gotta play the Thundurus at some point, man. That Mega Charizard X,
Oh
it's got me
man.
sweating a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. Staravjin, like, there's so much good stuff in here, man. There's so much good stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's, I don't know, it's a little unsettling, honestly. The every week I'm like, this is gonna be fine. I'm gonna have a decent matchup. Nah, man, I've had to like duke it out every single week now. There's so much, like the teams are pretty well constructed, honestly. If
Yeah.
I can toot the horn of the MPA for, you know, half a minute here. Let's move on into the blue division. Just give like a quick rundown here. Taking home two wins for weeks one and two against Detroit and Pittsburgh. The Minnesota Vikavolts are sitting at a handsome 2-0. Yeah, see, I got tripped up on the name again. The two Canadians
Yeah,
coming in here.
that name, man.
They were picking up from an 0-2 loss again. I think they take effect week three as well. So I think the Atlanta Arcanines stepped down after week two. So we'll know more about Montreal probably in the next episode or so. So we'll say the Arcanines had an 0-2, but the two Canadians here are stepping up and probably gonna take over here. Seattle Sea Kings coming in with a 1-0 win and a 2-0 win. So
That's really good.
props to Jodar coming in at 2-0 there. Proud of him. The Cub Chews, man. Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. It's another
My
6-0.
dude Elliot over here just flexing or something, man. I don't know what's happening
Yeah.
there. 6-0 against Durham, and the Sea Kings taking an 0-2 loss. But still, like once I feel like once you get a 6-0 at any point during the season, nobody can take that away from you. That's just there.
Yeah, you just got that momentum, to be honest. It's
It's terrible.
like, wow, I actually got a 6-0. It's time to win the league, you
And
know?
week one, no less. Like,
Yeah.
if you need some kind of morale boost or like something to get you going, good Lord, that's the right time to get it. South Texas Sableyes again, they are replacing the United Kingler. I think that started week two though. So they took home a 4-0 win after inheriting a week one loss against the Pelipper, I believe that is. So, you know, bit of color coming in here, showing. Like I know what I'm doing here. That was another big roster change. Like I remember so there was so much happening in terms of like trades and transactions at some point. There were like 43 in 1 week or something crazy like that.
Really?
Yeah, like it was. I was just like, well, I'm just gonna wait for the dust to settle because I don't even know what's happening right now.
Oh, wow.
There's nothing to be. I was like, I'm just gonna wait for the sheet to get updated, I think. Then we'll take a look. Pittsburgh Pirates. I say that right because I respect up. You gotta respect your elders, kids. You gotta respect them. You got weeks one and two coming up empty-handed, unfortunately. So he's sitting at 0-2 so far. But again, there's a lot of games left to play. There's a lot of time.
Yeah,
Anybody
definitely.
kind of stand out in the blue for you?
To be honest, again, that 6-0 kind of matters a lot, but I think Joe with the 0-2 or 2-0, and also I think Dan's also 2-0 right now. So both of them are like in a really good spot. So really, it just depends on the next coming week. So
Yeah, I know we started to have matchups here, so you gotta win in your color, in layman's terms. You
yeah.
gotta take those division wins. But I mean, or conference? Probably conference. I don't know sports, man. I don't know sport. I played tennis in high school, so unless something starts with the phrase "love 40," I'm pretty much useless when it comes to that. But I'm trying. This is a learning experience for me. Red division, the red, the bold, the powerful. We got the Detroit Steel, or the I was gonna say Steel Wings, Type Nulls. The Detroit Type Nulls, Crimson Seabed. He's got so many good names, man. That logo is fire, by the way. Can I just say that?
Yeah, that's really
That is
good.
a sick logo, my dude. Coming up empty-handed, however, of course, you know, playing the Vikavolts, the current NPA champions, coming up with an 0-2 loss there for week one. And then a another loss, an 0-5 loss, not quite a 6-0.
Oh, wow.
But pretty darn close. I saw that match, actually. That really? Was a Cobalion sweep. Don't want to spoil it for anybody. I'm pretty sure it was Cobalion. I know the Cobalion was in there, and it swords danced, and it was terrifying.
Oh, no. That's not good at
that
all.
That doesn't feel great, no. But, yeah. You know, he's. I think Crimson's actually in, like, three leagues right now.
Oh,
which
wow.
is a lot. Like,
yeah, that's a lot to really take.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I struggle just with the one. Right now I'm trying to like remember my team and then prep for like the other team and keep track of like any kind of roster changes that they might have, but to imagine that tripled would just be insane. Have you ever been in more than one league?
No, I have not.
Smart. That's a smart play. I like that. You're dedicated and focused on the one thing. Who else we got here? The Honchkrows picking up that 6. Oh my goodness. What's happening
right
now?
Yeah, that's...
We got that 6-0. Proud. Honchkrows probably feeling pretty great about that. And then taking an 0-2 loss, and that, I mean, hey, you know what? Those happen. For week 2.
That's not bad.
Sitting 1-1. I mean, 6-0. Like, dude. We've been hammering it this entire time, but dang, dude. Anytime you can flex like that. We got the Southampton Sharpedoes coming in here as well. Taking home 2 losses for week 1 and 2, unfortunately. Really close. Really, really close week 1 there. But unfortunately not able to eke it out at an 0-1. Unfortunately. Against the... is that Sea Kings? Yeah, that's the Sea Kings. That was Joe. Hey, listen, there's no harm in losing to the Sea Kings, man. They got a pretty stellar lineup.
Not at all.
What else we got here? Of course, Durham taking home an 0-4 loss there. So Sharpedoes, you know, again, sitting at that 0-2. Maybe needing a little bit of momentum. Not like a huge situation necessarily. The Druddigans. We got the Druddigans in here again. Whoa. Which I have to prepare for them pretty soon. feeling anxiety about that. Chicago taking home. That was the 6-0 win. Unfortunately, anytime there's a 6-0 win, there's always an 0-6 loss. And this was that. And then we get a 4-0 win in week 2 for the Druddigans. So, I mean, sitting in 1-1, pretty darn nice.
That's not too bad.
Pelipper's coming in here flexing. John just doing his thing. 2-0. After 2 weeks. Oh man. Somebody nerf John, please. Somebody nerf Pokemon. We got the Predators rounding out the red here with a 5-0 win week 1 and then a 5-0 win week 2. So pretty freaking scary in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's really good so far.
The differential alone, holy cow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything stand out? Obviously, you know, the New Orleans Pelipper's, that name is, you know, iconic at this point. I feel like everybody knows the Pelipper's and John. Like, he's been around a while. He's pretty well established in league format. Like, I don't know. It's dude's crazy. Like I said, somebody needs to nerf him. Anybody stand out to you?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to have to go with the Pelipper's or at least the Honchkrows. I mean, that 6-0 definitely helps a lot, but it just depends on the upcoming weeks, you know. So it just depends on how they do for the later weeks. And I think honestly, the Pelipper's will do better in that division or conference.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I would have put some money on Crimson with the Type Nulls. But you know, so, I mean, I'm sure he'll get it going. I'm sure he's just off to a rocky start, you know, but like I said, that's why I mentioned the three leagues, man. Like, there's a lot going on over there and I know
there's a lot more to cover from. So
there's a couple coaches there. They're doing like multiple leagues right now, which is, I don't know how they do it. They're an inspiration to an extent, just based on their time management skills alone. but
yeah,
absolutely crazy. So if we pop back over here, were there any upsets, you think? Like, I don't know, like I genuinely feel like Crimson might have done a little bit better than he did, but again, that's, you know, it's a balancing act. Were there any upsets given your MPA expertise of several seasons now?
Honestly, again, I don't really know how everyone is or if they got better or worse or anything like that. This is a draft format after all, so I kind of want to say skill-wise that doesn't have to do with much. But at the end of the day, an upset is an upset according to, like, a better player or a more outstanding person beating or losing to another, like, different skill player, you know? So, but for me, at least, I don't think I've seen anything, really.
It is early. It's kind of tough to tell right now, which is why, like, I personally don't start looking at the numbers until about week 8. That's when I'm like, okay,
yeah,
it's either do or die. Do I have a shot at playoffs, or should I just bring Zen Mode Darmanitan? Like, what do I do here? What's the more entertaining facet that I can run down here?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. I have very nullified expectations at this point, just because, you know, I'm not terribly familiar with a lot of the coaches. We had a couple new additions this season. I'm one of them. So it's we never really had like a set orientation or anything like that. But yeah. I do know that, you know, like I said, the teams are pretty well constructed. And so that alone kind of yields to me that, like, okay, everybody relatively is experienced and knows what they're doing, and I should, you know, be afraid. I mentioned at one point, like, I live in fear. I always have the fear of these games because it keeps me sharp. Anytime I'm overconfident, I do very poorly, so I gotta live in the fear most of the time.
Yeah.
So, for what that is, I guess. So nothing really too surprising so far. Again, you know, the losses that happen are there. They are what they are. But, you know, there's 10 games left to play at this point, so we got some time to make up ground. You know, are you adjusting okay to the changes? I know we kind of talked about that a bit, but, like, for example, the last time you were in the NPA, I don't believe you guys had Z crystals at that point.
No, yeah, it was Aura.
So looking back at, like, the Aura's metagame compared to the Sumo, like, how do you feel about the customization option of, like, a Z crystal, for example? Because, like, with the MPA specifically, you don't necessarily have one Pokemon that has access to a Z crystal. You pretty much, it's a lawless world out here, and you can slap a Z crystal on any of the Pokemon you want to bring to that game.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like Z moves can change the game a lot. And I don't know which, like for example, like I'm looking at right now, Z Geomancy. I don't know what that does. I think that, like, gives you more stat boots or something. I don't know. But I see it banned on here, so it's like, okay, there's something going on that that changes the move. So, but either way, I feel like Z moves change the game a lot. Obviously, you don't have to run a Z move, but I feel like with some mons, especially, Z moves can change the game. So, but like, compared to, like, Aurus, I should say, it's a different meta. I don't think Z crystals overall changed, like, the mons, for example. The best example I can give is like Talonflame. Z crystals didn't nerf it. It was just, like, its ability was nerfed. So, but just different mons, different items, of course. I think there's, like, there's a couple new items, I think, compared to, like, Aurus. But overall, Z moves, it just depends, really.
Which, that's kind of the other thing. We had a slight buff to Mega Pokemon, so the abilities, or let's the stat changes, I guess, technically, that take place are now after Mega Evolution. So the start of the turn begins after Mega Evolving. So stuff like Mega Swampert, for example, you used to have to run Protect because you had to wait a turn to get the Swift Swim going. Now you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that. That's one of the things too. Megas do change the game a lot. And honestly, I feel like megas are being like, if you're talking about like not in draft format, but like in like OU format, for example, I feel like you don't have to run a mega to be like to have a good team at least.
Yeah, that's I mean, not to throw shade at Mega Pidgeot or anything, but I didn't really prior when I drafted, I didn't really prioritize a Mega Pokemon necessarily. I just kind of figured, well, I'll find something type based that is relatively either all offensive or bulky, depending on the need that I need at that particular point in the draft and what's left, and then I'll just kind of fill in. And then I found Mega Pidgeot, like star-crossed lovers. We found each other. That sounds weird, but
Yeah, I love Mega Pidgeot though.
right? I mean, it's
Yeah.
so if nothing else, it gets style points just for looking so fresh.
Yeah, I used to run Mega Pidgeot season 2, and it was just amazing.
It's pretty solid. Like it's not. It's maybe not as fast as I would like, but. Everything is spammable. Like it's so
Yeah.
comforting not missing like a hurricane or a heat wave or something that would normally like bop you with a 10% odd late game when you're like, okay, if I land this then I win, and then you miss it, and then you're like, well, that's Pokemon. Like that's the phrase that happens every single Rockside flinch. That's Pokemon. That's what you deal with.
Yeah.
But it's really nice not worrying about that. Do you since you kind of had some roster changes, was there anything that you necessarily had your eye on? Because I know you said you swapped out some of the lower tier Pokemon that you had, but were you satisfied with your Mega?
Oh yeah, I was definitely fine with Mega Aerodactyl. I was like, that's probably like one of my favorite megas either way. So, and I think it can be really good in draft format because it has so many different type of variety moves, you know. So it just depends on what your opponent's team is, so that you can build
It's
around.
got Tough Claws. Is it Tough Claws?
Yes, I think it's Tough Claws. Yeah.
It's something that boosts like contact moves to or something like that. I think
Yeah.
it's Tough Claws. That sounds right. Yeah, dude, like I remember having to prep for that thing. I was like, well, no, I mean I can scarf Darm. That was the scarf Darmanitan that I desperately needed to not be adamant. Otherwise, like,
Oh,
yeah,
really?
like I the only way for me to actually take out Mega Aerodactyl was to get enough damage on it already and then
Oh,
come
wow.
in and Flare Blitz it, because that was literally all I could do. Like I had Cresselia, but Cresselia is very important to most of my team. So I'm like, I need
Yeah.
Cresselia for other stuff too. But yeah, man, like Mega Aerodactyl is genuinely pretty terrifying. Tentacruel
Yeah,
too. Like I know Tentacruel's on that team as well. I don't know if you ended up like making any changes to it, but Tentacruel's like pretty cool. Like I never not to pun, but I never like I always forget it's got a base 100 speed stat.
it's pretty fast to be honest. Honestly, I don't plan on making changes to Tentacruel actually. It has spin, of course. You could set up toxic spikes. You can make it a physical attacker for sweeping. You can make it Scald Burn, and it's pretty bulky, so I think it's overall pretty good.
Oh dang, you got Weavile too. Good lord.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I actually have something good on this team.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm having flashbacks now. That's what I've noticed, because I've never done like a weekly league before. Once I'm like done with the team that I have to play, like win or lose, I'm like, well, okay, that's out of my mind now. Moving on to the next one. And so like I'm re-remembering all these threats. They're absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
The Azelf is there. Oh God, Registeel, that was annoying to deal with. Latias,
Yeah.
all that good stuff, dude. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I can understand how you would feel pretty confident moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, let's take a look at these standings after week two. We have the Nashville Predators at 2-0 plus 10 at number one. That godly differential. Holy cow. Orlando Magikarp at number two, sitting at 2-0 plus 8. The Colorado Rapidash at number three, 2-0 plus 6. Tapu Koko Puffs, that's right, 2-0 plus 6 as well. The Minnesota Vikavolts at number five, 2-0 plus 5. The Pelippers matched with them at number 6. They're kind of tied, I guess. Theoretically tied for 5th. 2-0 plus 5, both of those teams. The Ride-Ons are 2-0 plus 3, as are the Seattle Sea Kings. And then those are all the 2-0 teams that currently stand. We then have the Adelaide Honchcrows at 1-1 plus 4, tied with the Cub Chews. We're also 1-1 plus 4. The Munchlasty United are tied with the New York Clinks at 1-1 plus 3. The Maryland Torterrapins are over here at 1-1 plus 2. Durham Druthigans are at 1-1 minus 2 at number 14. The Cedar Rapids Thunderous are at 1-1 minus 3, tied with the South Texas Sableyes, which I believe were previously the Kingler. Yeah, so coming in here. Where are we at? I lost it. Southampton Sharpedos are in at 0-2 minus 6 in a three-way tie with the Lancaster Castforms, which you kind of inherited, unfortunately, and the Miami Don fans. Detroit Type Nulls coming in at number 20 at 0-2 minus 7. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates, Straw Hat Swamperts, and the Tampa Bay Luxrays at 0-2 minus 8. And then finally at number 24, the newly acquired Montreal Two Canadians at 0-2 minus 10. So a lot of the pickup coaches or the transfer coaches or the replacement coaches, the new coaches coming and stepping in. Like, you guys inherited some pretty big losses. Like, I know we've been saying that there's a lot of games left to play yet. How do you feel about inheriting losses like that?
Honestly, for me, at least for this season, I just kind of want to relearn the format. So I think wherever I was for picking up a team, it doesn't really matter. But going 0-2 so far, it's going to be hard for me if I plan to make on making the championships, of course. But overall, it's not too bad. For example, if I can just win all my 10 matches, I don't think it'll matter too much. But it's going to be hard, of course. But in the end, just got to work with what you got. So
it's fair. I assume it's way better to come in at 0-2 than it is to come in late game, like late season, and be sitting at a more perhaps devastating deficit that you were maybe not prepared. Like currently being, let's say, 2-8. That's probably way worse.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, if you're feeling confident, there's a lot of games left to play. I know, like, man, that's I keep thinking about what it would be like to have to pick up someone's team that I didn't draft, and then play a week with it, like you're gonna have to week 3, and then make changes to kind of make the team feel like home, and get within my comfort level to actually be able to play and win. Like, that's, oh man, I don't know. Like, props to you guys who stepped up, like, really, because that does not sound at all super enjoyable to me. It sounds hard. Like, I don't know, because I mean, have you ever had to step in like this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so this is, not only are you dealing with like a new kind of, like, I won't say meta necessarily, but new format things, like Z crystals and buffed megas and stuff like that, but you know, you're kind of relatively in uncharted territory in terms of like taking over a team.
Yeah,
scary. I don't know. Props to you, dude. Like, mad props. But like I said, good on you. I mean, is there anything else you'd like to say in terms of what you're looking forward to? Is there anybody that you're like interested in playing, or any of the newer coaches that you weren't familiar with before that you're kind of like, okay, I'd like to flex on them a little bit?
Honestly, I'm just as excited to play new players that I haven't like really fought before, and I'm mostly looking forward to the coaches that I haven't, or I have fought in previous seasons before. So, like, for example, I think I play Joe and Goffey's weeks 4 and 5. So that would be a fun rematch to get. And just like new players and new teams and overall. So,
all right. Do you have any? All right. So I'm gonna ask you. I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. If you had to pick, which again, this is like weeks 1 and 2, so let's not be crazy. This literally has very little impact. Who would you say has a best shot at just coming in kind of fresh, looking at the teams? Not being here last season, who would you say has a good shot at making it to the final game?
Out of the new teams from this season or?
Any of the teams that just, you know, stand out to you.
That could make it. You want me to put two teams or just one team?
Yeah, whatever. Do what you want.
Honestly, looking at it right now, though, I kind of want to say A-Drive's team, the Vikavolts. I think they're going to be probably making the finals. A-Drive is just so good at draft leagues. It's just insane to think about.
He needs nerfed,
so I'm gonna, I have to give props to him for sure. So
Dan also needs to be nerfed. I agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's just give him like all the tier 3s and 4s and let him see if he'll make it balance.
He's got Victini again. Who let him do that? Like, for real?
Yeah, that thing is scary.
We know how this
so.
Ends, guys. We know what happens. Yeah. When, yeah. Oh, well.
And honestly, just for looking at it right now, I think the Nashville Predators, I think they're looking pretty good. I think they're like 2-0 right now, and I think they have a positive 10 differential. So that's really good so far.
Yeah, they're leading the standings after 2 weeks, 2-0 plus 10. It's terrifying.
Yeah, that's really good. So,
it's a relatively intimidating team name for a relatively intimidating team. So, it fits. Oh man. Well, I'm sure we'll be faced with a lot of ups and downs for the rest of the season. Of course, we are going to have a bye week in there at some point. I want to say it's during week 8, or where week 8 would technically be. Because we got PAX East going on, stuff like that. So we're taking a little.
Yeah, it's going to be a weekend. A
little breather there. Late mid season. But, you know, there's a lot of games left to play. There's a lot of matches left to be had. We're just getting into, you know, the conferences and things like that. So there's going to be a lot of stuff left to happen. Listen, Poke, I wish you the best of luck. I'm glad that I don't actually have to play you, because I would be terrified. I'm glad that part of my season's done.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty, if you will, washed up, if you will.
Nonsense. You are a scholar and a gentleman. I believe it. Any advice for anybody out there who, since you are, I mean, you are the founder of the NPA, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, actually. So,
do you have any advice for anybody out there who maybe wants to join the league? Because I know, you know, there's more than just NPA people that listen to this. Anybody who wants to join the league, do you have any advice for them?
Honestly, just try to push out your content. Try to improve your content no matter what it is. If it's Pokemon, not Pokemon related. Keep it going. Don't stop. Just keep it going. And eventually, over as time goes on, you'll want to, or maybe even get picked up by a draft team or whatever. So, but that's all the advice I have to say, really. Is just keep going. Have that motivation to eventually get on one of those, like the MPA, the GBA, things like that. So,
don't let your dreams be dreams. I like it.
Yeah.
Keep working. I dig it. Well, my dude, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody at home listening, I hope you enjoyed this special edition. If you are a CantorCast listener, you're going to get another episode a little bit later this week, probably by Thursday. You know how that goes. But that said, thank you so much for listening. Poke, thank you again for coming on, my dude. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. You too.
As always, I'm Blue, and I will catch you next time with another special edition of the NPA CantoCast miniseries.